WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Wildfires burning across the Los Angeles area. Tens of thousands of people have been evacuated. ABC's Andrew Dimbert has some of the stories.
This woman helped her 95 and 96-year-old neighbors get out. She says the last big fire in that area was in 1991.
The drought, we haven't had any rain in the mountains so dry, it'll just go in a puff.
Patients had to be evacuated from a rehab center for seniors. The winds were expected to produce gusts possibly topping 100 miles per hour in the mountains and foothills, including in areas that have not seen substantial rain since last spring.
President-elect Donald Trump remaining undeterred in his plan to expand the country's territorial footprint. On Tuesday, he said the U.S. wants the Panama Canal and Greenland and wants to change the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. Former President Jimmy Carter lying in state in the Capitol Rotunda. There will be a state funeral tomorrow at the National Cathedral. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Golden Globes kicked off award season Sunday night. It was good news for the entertainment world as ratings were up across the board, including broadcast TV, social media, and streaming, despite the fact that the Globes were up against Sunday Night Football. Network TV reported that ratings were up 50% from the broadcast in 2023. The ceremony also produced 40 million social media impressions, which were more than the 2024 Oscars and Grammys had combined. Streaming ratings were up 9%. Post Malone performed with Beyonce during the NFL halftime show on Christmas Day in Houston. The night before, he was hanging at a bar called the Rail Yard with Shaboozy. That was a fun sentence to say. Malone met bartender Renee Brown, a single mom upset that she was working Christmas Eve for the first time instead of home making cookies and watching Christmas movies with her 9-year-old daughter. Her night picked up when Malone left her a $20,000 tip. Being more than 15% is so gauche. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Marquette wins again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Marquette Golden Eagles with a comeback win in Milwaukee over the Georgetown Hoyas. Final score 74-66. Head coach Shaka Smart.
We get down 14. We're not shooting the ball well. The zone stymied us to some extent. It would have been easy for us to get bummed out. And I thought our guys did a great job collecting each other, helping each other. Have the spirit that we needed to have to win the game.
NBA, the Bucks host the San Antonio Spurs tonight at Five Sir Forum. Former Marquette star Jimmy Butler says he wants out of Miami, but doesn't want the Heat to trade him to Milwaukee. NFL wildcard playoffs this weekend, the Packers and the Eagles Sunday at 3:30. Matt LaFleur on one of the things that stands out about Philadelphia.
I just feel like the defense is, I mean, they're humming right now. It's a very talented defense. You can tell that they've got everybody on the same page. They got superstars on every level of the defense.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, Matt Rothschild will be my guest. Meta ends fact-checking, and is a NATO ally really a NATO ally if our president-elect threatens them with force? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
A mix of clouds and sunshine today. We'll get to right around 20 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the west at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear down to 9 above. Tomorrow, sun in the morning, a few more clouds in the afternoon with a high of 27 with some light snow possible tomorrow night into Friday morning. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Temperature now 6.
Earl Ingram.
The Republicans and Donald Trump want to impose tariffs. They say it's going to bring in $2.7 trillion.
That's what they say when they're trying to justify a tax reduction. Those broad tariffs are not good for the average American.
You know, Sandy, I'm not a guy that knows anything about calculus and any of those things, but I do know how to add and subtract. They're adding to the national debt.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Dangerous levels of lead have been found in some commercial baby foods. On the next show, we'll talk about how to protect your family with the campaign for lead-free water and Flat.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
Join the Bergstrom family for the yes of the freedom of buying.
Join the Bergstrom Auto Family.
The JR Sport Brief.
Browns? Forget Deshaun Watson. The Browns are probably getting what they deserve right now. The Haslam sat around. Oh, we spoke to him before we traded, and we feel comfortable and confident. Well, now y'all are screwed. This is a lesson learned for everybody out here. Just because something is right there in front of you doesn't mean it's yours to grab or take. I'm not cheering his injury, but damn.
96.7 FM, 1670 AM, The Zone.
Good morning on this Wednesday, January 8th. It's looking like the weather's going to remain about the same, topping out in the low 20s. But we'll have more on that in just a few moments with our ag meteorologist, Stu Muck. On tap for today, we get to hear from our friends over at the Steffes Group as Pam Yonke is joined by Ashley Hune to talk about how to decide when to have an auction. Stephanie Hoff also joins the show with outgoing Fairs of the Fair, Kelsey Henderson, as she reminisces on this last year. Also on the docket, we'll hear a little bit about some research involving cheese curds and how they are working to extend the squeak. But first, we're going to hear from Brian Luck, a state extension specialist in biological machinery systems, to discuss how autonomy may be coming very soon in the agriculture industry. I'm Ben Jarbo joining you this morning, and this is the Midwest Farm Report. Make sure to stick around.
As a dairy farmer, you depend on your milk receiver pump. McFinn Technologies of Kenosha introduces the impressive Bopeller pump. It's quieter, there's lower maintenance, as the seals last much longer than your old milk receiver pump. It offers a more powerful cleaning cycle with higher velocities, and it doesn't degrade the quality of your milk. Ask your dealer for the Bopeller milk receiver pump. Patented by McFinn Technologies, an American company committed to providing a better product for the dairy industry.
Did you know soybean diseases like white mold and sudden death syndrome can survive in your soil even after rotating crops? Prevention of these diseases is a constant battle, and yield loss from an infection can be devastating. The right management plan makes all the difference. Keep your beans safe this spring with Heads Up Seed Treatment. Heads Up guards your seed from both white mold and SDS. Stay protected and profitable by asking your seed dealer for Heads Up. Learn more at headsupst.com.
With ongoing labor shortages and the continuous need to produce more with less, there are currently well over 50% of U.S. crop farmers using some type of autonomy. And that number continues to rise every year. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo, and UW-Madison State Extension Specialist in Biological Machinery Systems, Brian Luck, explains why this is being seen and how we may soon see full autonomy in fields near you.
It's kind of a new budding space for equipment companies. There's a lot of companies out there, as far as I can tell, that are sort of startups that are taking existing machines and converting them to autonomous platforms. There's a lot of safety considerations that have to be considered in that realm as well. And it is headed this way. We're not quite there yet. We're not ready to go fully autonomous in the ag production, at least field crops sort of space. But I'd say within the next year or two, it's a real reality that we could be doing that and setting machines to do what we want them to and just providing them the fuel, seed, fertilizer, et cetera, they need to get the job done.
You think this autonomous research is going to pick up speed with a greater labor shortage every year? We're having less and less labor available to these farmers to be able to produce?
Absolutely, yeah. The other thing you kind of think about, too, is I didn't get to talk about this in my talk, but I go home to my family farm, and I've been away from the farm for several years, and every machine has its own little quirk and other things, and, you know, I probably do more harm than good helping my uncle, you know, farm. So if he was able to have an autonomous machine that he could program to do exactly what needed to be done and, you know, only check on that machine every so often to make sure it's still doing what it's supposed to do and has what it needs to do it, I think it's going to help with later labor shortages, improve efficiencies. We might even see benefits as far as financial benefits when we're working towards applying the right treatment at the right time. So if we have a two-day window to get the seed in the ground and we don't want to plant, you know, 24 hours a day, these machines could do that, which might help farmers.
Well, when you take a look at this autonomous machinery and just various like technological advancements for it, what part of the ag industry is this going to help the most of it? Is it this produce sector, or is it going to be row crop, or which one's getting the most research in on it?
Yeah, I think currently we're working in the row crop space more than anything. And I say that maybe due to ignorance, because that's the area that I work in. So there may be more out there than I know about. That said, a lot of the same processes, if we're talking sweet corn, we're talking, you know, snap beans, et cetera, it's very much similar to corn, typical corn and soybean production in agriculture. So there's a lot of operations that could be done. Most of what's going on right now in the autonomy world is, I would say, more simple operations. So our tillage operations, mowing operations, things along those lines, to where the machine doesn't really have to make a decision that I'm out of seed and that's a problem, right? It has the fuel, it has the tillage input, but behind it, it's able to complete its task. As we progress with more sensors and more intelligence in these machines, I think we'll get to the more complicated field operations being completely autonomous and able to basically run our whole farm from the office.
Now, I know a lot of farms already have some type of technology in there where you press a button, auto steer, it'll go straight. You might just have to turn at the end of the rows, but that's kind of the start of this whole thing. What's the next step that you think we will see in these tractors?
Yeah, so it's a good question. There's a couple of companies out there that have defined levels of autonomy, and I'm probably going to get this wrong, but there's assisted, which means it pretty well works by itself, but there's a human involved. There's observational, where the human's not necessarily on the machine but still watching, and then on up to full autonomy, where the machine's working by itself completely. As far as technology, all the tools that we need to make an autonomous tractor exist. We have camera systems that we're able to detect obstacle avoidance. We have sensors that can tell whether the machine's on an incline and everything's correct and safe and everything else. So I don't know as we need any more technological advancement to be able to do it. I think we can do it right now. It is being done, actually. That said, there's probably some regulatory issues. The other thing is moving these machines up and down the road. So if we had a fully autonomous tractor and I needed to do field A and field B and I needed cross a road, that is absolutely not legal right now. We cannot do that. So a human has to drive it across the road. You know, it may be on the regulatory side, infrastructure side, that we need to build some of that in, or at least plan for when that machine's done, we have a human there to move it to the next field to keep it working.
One of the probably biggest issues for farmers, what they're thinking is, if there's no one in there, what if something goes wrong? Because, you know, no matter what season it is or anything, something's probably going to break on a piece of equipment or implement or something. So what can you say to what's being looked at to try to fix those problems and put people more at ease for when this day comes that we see more autonomous?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I think the short answer to that is 1.5 million sensors, right? So the machine already has a lot of that. It has its engine sensors. It knows if the engine's running. It controls its fuel system. It controls its hydraulic system. And all of that's done by sensors, and we flip a switch in the cab and we lift an implement or whatever. We're not really pulling a lever to actuate that valve anymore. Similar thing on the implements, right? If you have a shaft that's supposed to be rotating and it's not, we can measure that. If you have a tillage tool that's supposed to have X amount of resistance on it when it's being pulled through the soil, or at least within a range, we can measure that. So what you're going to see is just a few more wires or wireless connections that's going to keep track of what's going on with the important parts of that machine. And if something has gone wrong, then it will say, hey, something's not right here. Let's stop, send a message, notify the operator. And the operator can either log in remotely, which is one cool way of doing it. And basically, you can get in the cab yourself from your home computer and see what bells and whistles have gone off. Or it can tell you, hey, you need to come out here and check this machine. Something's not right. There's a lot of draft load measurements and other things. If we're talking tillage, you know, the tillage tool is pulling off to the side because the shank's broken, we can measure that. So it's one of those that it comes in with safety as well. It's not just is the machine doing what it's supposed to, but are we able to detect tile holes? Are we able to detect big rocks that's going to cause a problem, et cetera, and make a decision on whether I need to drive over that or I need to go around or what's going on? So basically, we're right to the point, and I talked about this in my talk, where the computing power is such that we can monitor all these things pretty well continuously and be able to have that machine make a decision based on the images coming in, the sensor data coming in, all the things measuring its environment around it and how it's behaving, that it can make a decision on whether it's safe and in a good operating condition or whether it needs to left or right, do something different to make the operation successful.
And that's on the farmer's perspective. If we take a look at like applicators, is this something that's being looked at for that too, just for spraying, like instead of having someone in the cab of the sprayer, just having the machine do it all?
Yeah, sort of. So that's a whole other ball of wax when we're talking about chemical application, because there's a lot of licensures that you have to put it on and make sure the drift is not happening and the weather conditions are correct. That said, you know, we're using UAVs now to spray, and the operation of those machines is essentially autonomous. You give it a path you want it to take. It identifies the path and goes, finds it, gets on the GPS line and sprays. So a human's probably still going to be present when we're talking about chemical applications due to offsite movement, offsite spraying. We don't want any of that to go wrong. But does an operator have to be in the cab? Not necessarily. Might be at the edge of the field like we're doing with these UAVs and be able to apply that way and keep things moving a little more quickly.
When you talk about the UAV or drones, is there any difference in how effective they are compared to just a standard tractor sprayer?
Yeah, it's a good question. We actually looked at that the last couple of years, spraying fungicides in soybeans, and we're not seeing any difference between a ground-applied, basically top-down spray method versus the UAV. There was a difference between a non-treated in those two treatments, which they did better in white mold because the spray was applied. But between the ground rig and the UAV, there was no difference. We're also kind of looking, trying to look at the prop wash within the crop canopy and try to see if basically the spray is getting further into the crop canopy and kind of putting an eye toward drift to be able to understand maybe how far offsite movement we might be achieving with some of the extra wind we're creating with the UAV. So yeah, it's an interesting time to look at that stuff.
Ryan Luck giving an inside look at what can be expected in the near future from autonomy in agriculture. Some of the benefits that this autonomy could bring to farmers is having lower energy costs, an increased efficiency, less soil compaction, and reduced fatigue for the operators. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. On my YouTube channel, I recently talked to Amanda Clayman, a financial therapist and an all-around excellent person. We talked about how to reduce money anxiety, and her advice was really helpful. She said, unless we have a time to do money, we don't have a time to not do money. Meaning, if we set aside some time to think about and manage our money, it lets our brain stop worrying about money all the time. For example, I have a monthly money meeting with myself, which lowers my money anxiety and helps keep me on top of my finances. If you don't already, set and keep that money meeting with yourself. It'll help your wallet and your peace of mind. Remember what Amanda said, unless you have a time to do money, you don't have a time to not do money. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I drew my brother's name one year, and we went to the mall, and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him that I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Maggie Dawn.
One of my New Year's intentions is to play more, and by that I mean more board games. What are your favorites? We discuss next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Snow around. Oh, there's some snow this morning. Lake effect snow, north central Wisconsin, up in the UP, Houghton, Hancock, that area getting some snow this morning, kind of like eastern Wisconsin had it early Monday. Now it's up to the north. North wind is coming over Lake Superior, providing that little lake effect snow. Not a big factor for most of us. If you're up in far northeast Wisconsin, some clouds, maybe a little bit of snow today, but nothing else to really talk about. There's still a big high pressure system trying to keep us high and dry and allowing for temperatures to be just a little cooler than normal yet today, but more likely close to normal for tomorrow and Friday. That sounds great. A little more mild for the weekend. But I do anticipate that a big, strong storm moving in around Texas and heading east will mean a lot more snow there and wintry weather and the like. A little weak kicker, a weak upper-level system on the Pacific Northwest this morning heads for the Badger State, and that may very well account for just a little snow. Mild, moist air building north around that system down around Texas will try to bring just a little snow our way late Thursday night into the day Friday. The heaviest snow, if we see it, will be in the far southern part of Wisconsin, and even there, less than an inch if there's any accumulation. Otherwise, just a little snow in the air late Thursday night or into the day Friday, and we hold on to those temperatures more like normal for Friday, and even starting the weekend, a little moderation again back to normal or a bit above towards Sunday with another weak system, another possibility of just a little light snow as we move on towards Sunday or Sunday night. No, we're not going to pick up inches. We're not going to cover our fields. Just a little light snow, a couple of shots here as we head toward the end of the week and then the wrap-up of the weekend. Those temperatures a bit cooler, though, by next week. We're going to enjoy more mild air here the rest of this week and the weekend. I expect next week we start seeing those highs dropping and, in fact, back into the teens by Tuesday and Wednesday. Colder winter weather on the way. I'll have more forecast details right after this.
You see the headlines all the time, consumers confused by food labels. Well, not if they shop at Bavaria Sausage. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here, asking you to take a closer look at the food labels at Bavaria Sausage. You know, they are working towards making sure when you take a look at whatever product they've got in the store, you know exactly what it is. They're using different colors. They're also making sure that there's a picture on that label to help you better understand the protein source that you're looking at. It's all about making sure they're combining the old world flavors, the artisan blends, and making sure that you understand when there's something new in the showcase, what is it and where did it come from? Simple information, easily understood. And of course, there's always someone there to answer your questions if you've got them. Bavaria Sausage at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, located also online, BavariaSausage.com. Old recipes, new labels. Take a look.
All right, Stu. So down here in Madison, we're not going to see much new, but you're saying up north it might.
A little bit of snow way in the north today and a little snow in the Madison area, I'd expect Thursday night, Ben, so get ready. That Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update is calling for mostly sunny skies. That's especially in the central and southern part of the state. A few more clouds today and maybe some flurries way far in the north. I expect temps in the low 20s south, still in the upper teens in northern Wisconsin with the northwest winds. Only about 5 today, a little stronger in the northeast. Overnight, partly cloudy and we drop down in the single digits. Low double digits in the south for the warm area, and winds will become south overnight, only about 5. Partly sunny Thursday, more mild. A lot of us in the 20s, in fact, upper 20s in the south. The south winds at 5 to 10. But then that small chance of a little snow Thursday night into Friday. Mostly cloudy Friday with a few snowflakes. Mid and upper 20s for highs, getting more mild with west wind, Ben. And then I expect that we cool a degree or two for Saturday and may have a little snow again by Sunday.
Thank you, Stu. That was your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Compeer Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture in rural America. Visit Compeer.com. Don't go anywhere. Got a lot on deck.
This is the Midwest
News from the Center, WRCE. The Todd Alba Show.
Donald J. Trump has been officially certified the winner of the 2024 election the way that the Constitution dictates. You see how simple that is? There's a vote, you certify the results, democracy moves on. You might not like the results. The person I wanted to have elected didn't win, but that's the way democracy works. Unlike 4 years ago on January 6th, where rioters stormed the Capitol.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
it? No, not at all.
In the Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again. Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all the fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Wildfires burning across the Los Angeles area. Tens of thousands of people have been evacuated. ABC's Andrew Dimbert has some of the stories.
This woman helped her 95 and 96-year-old neighbors get out. She says the last big fire in that area was in 1991.
The drought, we haven't had any rain in the mountains so dry, it'll just go in a puff.
Patients had to be evacuated from a rehab center for seniors. The winds were expected to produce gusts possibly topping 100 miles per hour in the mountains and foothills, including in areas that have not seen substantial rain since last spring.
President-elect Donald Trump remaining undeterred in his plan to expand the country's territorial footprint. On Tuesday, he said the U.S. wants the Panama Canal and Greenland and wants to change the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. Former President Jimmy Carter lying in state in the Capitol Rotunda. There will be a state funeral tomorrow at the National Cathedral. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Demi Moore is getting rave reviews regarding her acceptance speech for her Best Actress Golden Globe. Moore won for her role in the film The Substance. She says the Golden Globe was the first award she had ever won for acting in her 45-year career. The actress says she was at a low point in her career when what she called an absolutely bonkers script came across her desk. She agreed to do the role, and the rest is, as they say, history. The holidays continue for Zendaya and Tom Holland. The couple, who have been dating since 2021, are reported to be engaged, according to TMZ. The couple shared the screen in three Spider-Man films, but typically do not walk the red carpet together. Holland says he was not with his fiancée at the Golden Globes, so she could enjoy her moment. Zendaya was nominated in the Best Actress category for the film Challengers. I think they will each make a great first spouse. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Marquette wins again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Marquette Golden Eagles with a comeback win in Milwaukee over the Georgetown Hoyas. Final score 74-66. Head coach Shaka Smart.
We get down 14. We're not shooting the ball well. The zone stymied us to some extent. It would have been easy for us to get bummed out, and I thought our guys did a great job collecting each other, helping each other. Have the spirit that we needed to have to win the game.
NBA, the Bucks host the San Antonio Spurs tonight at Fiserv Forum. Former Marquette star Jimmy Butler says he wants out of Miami, but doesn't want the Heat to trade him to Milwaukee. NFL wildcard playoffs this weekend, the Packers and the Eagles Sunday at 3:30. Matt LaFleur on one of the things that stands out about Philadelphia.
I just feel like the defense is, they're humming right now. It's a very talented defense. You can tell that they've got everybody on the same page. They got superstars on every level of the defense.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, still concerned about the high price of groceries. We'll talk about Trump tariffs with Darren Von Ruden with the Wisconsin Farmers Union. That's all on the way. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
A mix of clouds and sunshine today. We'll get to right around 20 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the west at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear down to 9 above. Tomorrow, sun in the morning, a few more clouds in the afternoon with a high of 27 with some light snow possible tomorrow night into Friday morning. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Outside now, it is 7.
Selling your cattle is easy with American Foods Group, a family-owned company bringing you the best prices and expertise right from the dairy, ranch, feed yard, or local market. Call today at 800-345-0293 or email info@americanfoodsgroup.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The 2024 election was certified January 6th by Congress with no objections, accusations of fraud, or violent mobs. Why was it, well, blissfully boring? Vice President Kamala Harris handed each state's Electoral College letters of certification to tellers, who then read them out loud. When complete, the total was announced and Trump was declared the winner. The whole process took less than 30 minutes. What changed? The Electoral Count Reform Act was implemented, making it harder for Congress to derail certification. Election rules were tightened in many states, but in battleground Michigan, where voter access was dramatically expanded, Trump won. After losing in 2020, he claimed widespread voter fraud in Detroit. Hand-counting activists have also been curiously silent. Were the voting machines different this time? Electronic ballot tabulators, the target of conspiracy theories and multi-million-dollar lawsuits, are still on the job and recognized as far more accurate and less costly than hand-counting. What about the legions of undocumented immigrants Trump claimed last October would vote illegally? There was no widespread evidence of non-citizen voting in this or any other U.S. election. Other than no criminal conspiracy to overthrow the results, not much did change. Our 2024 election was secured by many of the same heroic election officials doing the blissfully boring work of democracy. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Mattenair on air.
It is our 1 year anniversary here on Mattenair on air. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, for being on this journey with me. It's been great.
Thanks for having me. I can't speak for Calvin.
I'm always thrilled to be here.
Unbridled.
The enthusiasm
enjoyment.
Brimming over from you, Calvin. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
Mattenair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
I put our team in that situation at the end of the game because...
And now back to the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Midwest Farm Report you're listening to, and I am Ben Jarbo joining you on this hump day. Let's take a look back and see what we can find out from what has happened in country music history on this day. Way back in 1935 in East Tupelo, Mississippi, the king of rock and roll, Elvis Presley, was born. On this day in 1994, Faith Hill released her first single, Wild One, which spent 4 weeks on top of the U.S. country charts. Also on this day in 2016, country singer-songwriter Red Simpson passed away at the age of 81. And in 2021, Morgan Wallen released Dangerous, the double album, with the hit Seven Summers that stayed on top of the charts for 10 weeks. And now you know some history that happened on this day in country music history. While you're listening to some of these people, you might also be eating one of the favorite snacks here in Wisconsin, the cheese curd. And there's some research going on right now that's looking at how to extend the squeakiness and freshness of this delicious snack. I had the opportunity to catch up with Dr. Ronnie Govindasamy Lucy from the Center for Dairy Research at UW-Madison, and she's going to give us an insight on how they're conducting their research and what they found that will help extend this squeak.
So what we did is then, as I said, using the squeakiness, we came up with a metric. We correlated. So then we wanted to study this approach in a cheese. So we used this, maybe if you heard my presentation, you were there. I talked about this Finnish bread cheese. So... In Finland, they have this bread cheese where when it can extend its shelf life up to its squeakiness shelf life up to about 3 months, even when it's not refrigerated. So we wanted to take that cheese. That cheese is different from cheese curd because when they make the cheese, they only add the rennet, which, remember I talked, is the enzyme that is added to cause clotting in milk when you make cheese, but they do not add bacteria to make the cheese. We said, okay, so there's no bacteria, it's not going to produce the acid, so when it doesn't produce the acid, it's not going to solubilize the minerals with the protein. So now they only add rennet to make the cheese, so we only have to deal with proteolysis. But the other thing about when they make this cheese, after the cheese is made, it is baked at very high temperatures. Okay, so that during that baking process, they bake it at very high temperatures. So we thought that maybe baking at high temperatures, you are actually killing the enzyme, the rennet enzyme, and that would decrease the proteolysis. So we looked at different temperatures, and we were able to find that when you use higher temperatures to bake, you're actually able to retain the squeakiness longer.
Dr. Govindasamy Lucy says that the end goal for this is to be able to ship out these cheese curds so people all over the U.S. and even the world can get the same fresh, squeaky cheese curds as we do here. Now let's take a look at what the markets are doing this morning. It looks like they're trying to push higher in the grain side on this Wednesday morning, as March corn is up a half at 458.5, and December corn is up 1.25 at 447.5. March soybeans are up 3/4 at 998, and November soybeans are in a stalemate sitting at 1011.5. March wheat is up a half at 543, and July wheat is also up a half at 563.5. Milk has seen a little bit of a loss this morning. February contracts are down 11 cents at 2079 a hundredweight, and March contracts are down 13 cents at 2045 a hundredweight. When we take a look at how dairy products finished yesterday, barrels of cheese closed down 1.25 at 186.25, and 40-pound blocks closed down 2.5 at 191.5. Butter finished the day yesterday up 1 at 258. Although the markets are a tale of two stories, this weather is not, as we heard earlier from ag meteorologist Stu Muck. It's just going to remain cold out there. But if you decide to go outside, let me know what you're doing today out there, because I'm trying to find some things to do outside to keep busy during these winter months. Use our talk text line at 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-FARM. 3276. Make sure to stick around, because we still have a lot to go through as Pam Yonke joins us with their friends over at the Steffes Group to discuss how to decide when to have an auction and how to best prepare. Also, Stephanie Hoff is coming up next with the outgoing Fairs of the Fair to reminisce on her past year in this role. Don't touch that dial.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
News from the Center, WRCE. Matt Nair on air.
This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I drew my brother's name one year, and we went to the mall, and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him that I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, comedian Tim Cavanaugh joins me to discuss his upcoming show in Port Washington. Then TV's Mike Siegel and I discuss high school dance music. We're going to light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Tonight, the Wisconsin Association of Fairs will crown the 59th Fairest of the Fair. Roughly three dozen young women are in the running for the position. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report. And at the Wisconsin Association of Fairs annual convention in the Wisconsin Dells, I caught up with outgoing fairest Kelsey Henderson of Racine County before she passes on the crown. She reflects on her year as Wisconsin's fair ambassador, and you wouldn't believe how busy she was during fair season. But since Kelsey has been attending fairs since she was in diapers, it was nothing out of the ordinary.
The fair has always been part of my family, and I say it's pretty much in my blood. So I grew up, and I'm the fourth generation to show at the Racine County Fair, so it's definitely a community event. I attended my very first Racine County Fair at just 3 months old, my first Wisconsin State Fair at 4 months old. Never missed a day of the Racine County Fair until this year when I got the opportunity to travel to other fairs. And I haven't missed the state fair yet either, so fairs are definitely in my blood. So coming into this position, it was amazing to see how my role could change within the fair industry.
Coming into this position a year ago, what were your goals?
Yeah, so I look back, and as I aged out of exhibiting a few years ago, I was like, what's the next step for me? And so for me, that was running for my local fairs through the fair, serving as the Racine Fairest Fair of the Fair in 2023. And with that opportunity, then I got to come up here and compete for the Wisconsin Fairs of the Fairs, which was truly a dream come true to represent this Wisconsin, the entire state of Wisconsin, and the Fair Association and Wisconsin State Fair. And coming into my year, goals and things I would love to, you know, implement when I was a contestant last year were education and really promoting the story of our fairs. And so I hope I was able to successfully do that throughout my year, and I'm really thankful for the year.
How many of Wisconsin fairs were you able to attend over the past year?
So I made it to 61 fairs proudly, starting at the end of June, going through the middle of September, and was at the Wisconsin State Fair all 11 days. So no shortage of fairs this year. 10 fairs in a week was the max I did, and 3 fairs in a day was the max I did in a day. So it was truly amazing, and I loved every single fair and every minute of it.
So that's 61 out of how many in total?
So there's 75 Wisconsin fairs. Quite a few of our Wisconsin fairs fall during the Wisconsin State Fair. So unfortunately, I wasn't able to make it to all of them. But maybe one day I'll be able to make it to them all.
Looking back on that year, what were you most proud of?
Yeah, so really quickly in my travels, one thing I really realized is how different every single fair is and unique in their own way, but yet how the fair values is what I like to call shine through in each fair. So no matter what fair I was at, you could sense how the community loved that community event, and you could see how proud the fair board and volunteers were, and you could see how hardworking the exhibitors were and how people loved to volunteer. And so no matter what fair I was, where I was across the state of Wisconsin, it was cool to see those fair values shine through in them, even though they're all really unique. And I'm really proud of the stories of the fairs that I was able to share. I really wanted to showcase what each individual fair has to offer because of how unique they were. And through my fairs tour videos and interacting with them, I really hope that that's something that the fairs will remember and continue to do on their own to share that fair story.
You said every fair is different. What surprised you? Did you ever walk onto the grounds and were like, what?
There were definitely so many surprises. I truly took this opportunity as your only fairs once. So if there was a surprise, I typically embraced it and tried to be a part of it. So this led to so many fun things. I did rock wall climbing in a dress at a fair. That was a new one. I drove a donkey through an obstacle course, fun things like that. Eating contests, celebrities, you name it. Fairs have it all, and that was really cool, and seeing what different fairs bring in for entertainment and to get the fairgoers there.
Now, you said you're passionate about education. That's a huge part of fairs, is introducing people to maybe a way of life or a quality of their community that they didn't get to know before. Do you feel that you helped in that process? Do you feel like you fulfilled your goal of educating people about fairs?
I definitely think so. And so I think this can kind of go in a few ways. I'll start with, I thought I knew a lot about fairs coming into the position. Growing up in a fair family, I thought I knew a lot about fairs. But man, did I learn a lot this year about fairs. And so that was really cool, is educating fair people about fairs. It was a huge compliment to me when I talked to people that are like, hey, we, you know, watched your videos and got to learn from them, or we're a fair family and we learned something from your videos and what you shared. So it was really cool able to educate the people that are already in the industry. And then you also have the other education aspect. So, you know, what's drawing people to our Wisconsin fairs? And when they're there, how can you make that an educational and learning experience that they want to continue to be a part of it? So whether that's speaking at an event or giving a speech or workshop or demonstration at some fairs like I did, or really just giving that one-on-one interaction in an animal barn or in the youth building, you name it, there's so many ways to really connect that education piece at fairs.
So Kelsey, finally, what's next for you?
Yeah, so I have some really exciting things upcoming. I am very sad that this chapter is coming to a close, but really proud of the year that I was able to complete. But I'm super excited for the next chapter. So professionally, I'm joining John Deere full-time right here in the middle of January. So as soon as I complete my role as Ferris, I'll be heading out to Iowa to start with John Deere full-time in their marketing and customer support development program. So essentially, I'll be rotating through a few different rotations to continue to learn more about the company. I'm super excited about that. But Wisconsin Fairs, I'm not going anywhere. I look forward to finding my next role in the Wisconsin Fair industry. And that's already started by working with Jamie and the Wisconsin Association of Fairs Board about education and other fun things like that, and seeing how I can continue to fit into this industry beyond this role. So I'm super excited about all those opportunities and really thankful for the year that I had.
Kelsey Henderson along with us. She is the outgoing Wisconsin Fairest of the Fair. The new Fairest will be crowned this evening at the Wisconsin Association of Fairs Convention in the Wisconsin Dells. From the convention at the Chula Vista Resort, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Thank you, Stephanie. As we wrap up today, it is a Wednesday, so it's time to have a talk with our friends over at the Steffes Group. Pam Yonke was joined by Ashley Hoon to talk about what you should look for and expect when planning an auction.
And welcome to calendar year 2025. It's time for us to catch up with our friends at the Steffes Group. That's steffesgroup.com. Toll-free number if you want to give them a call, 800-726-8609. Ashley Hewitt along with us. Even though the holidays have passed us, whirlwind of activity at the Steffes Group to try to get everybody tucked away for 2024 business, get everything moving in the right direction as far as the purchases are concerned. And let's talk a little bit about the process. If I'm starting to really seriously consider an auction of my own, Ashley, I think there's an intimidating factor out there about, you know, this. I don't want to say the finality, but auctions kind of do mean finality in some sense of the word. So give me a sense on what I should be thinking about, considering, taking action on, if 2025 is the year that I'm going to do an auction.
Sure. Well, first of all, like you said, it is a life-changing event, and we understand that for people. So we don't take things lightly. We want to make sure that everybody's comfortable with the process and knows. We always try and teach the people coming into the organization that we want to tell people what's going to happen before it happens.
Yeah.
You know, and we've been doing it long enough that we can get pretty close on whether it's prices, but the process, that's easy for us.
All right.
But the reality is it either starts with a phone call or you can get a hold of us through our website. There's a contact us, you know, if it's after business hours, and somebody will call you within the day for sure. And so that's where it really starts. And then it's that, I would kind of call it an interview process. Like, what are your plans? What are your goals? What are you trying to accomplish with this process? Is it a time thing? Is it a money thing? What is it? And then sometimes one of the hardest decisions is the date, because everything we do from that point forward revolves around the date, whether it's the advertising, the marketing, the cleanup, the pictures, all them things.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but that's right where we start, and we'll sit at the kitchen table. We'll talk about the process.
Does anybody ever get cold feet and then ultimately back out?
It has happened, and I can tell you that's usually from a case of somebody is leveraging me to fix their family problems. If that makes any sense, probably yeah. Never heard of that before.
Yeah,
but you know, sometimes we can solve them things with appraisals. Sometimes we can't. Sometimes the reality, well, you know, if you don't do this, the farming ends with me, and then all of a sudden somebody steps in or whatnot.
But, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of different situations.
And you've seen a lot of them. How many years did you say you've been with Steffes, Ashley? Yeah.
It's been over 20 years now.
Yeah. Yeah. times they have changed. And everybody's still uncertain about what's going to shake as far as 2025. But you said fourth quarter was still fantastic, huh?
You know, it really was. And a lot of that is due to the quality of equipment. You know, when you've got a farmer that has this giant shop and has an open house with his equipment that only has a couple hundred hours on it, everything's parked inside, and you serve brisket to 300 people, that's a recipe for success. And some of that equipment that he owned, he got what he paid for it.
Wow, that's amazing. That's a good story to share as we get started calendar year 2025. Ashley Hewen joining us from the Steffes Group. And again, like you said, if you're thinking about going down that road, now is a good time to start the conversation. Make sure it's a fit. Get your questions answered by the experts at the Steffes Group, steffesgroup.com, or call them 800-726-8609. Like Ashley said, they'll respond to your questions, your inquiries quickly. Ashley Hewen along with us from the Steffes Group.
Thank you, Pam. And as we wrap up today here at the Midwest Farm Report, we just want to wish you all a safe, healthy, and happy Wednesday. And remember, if you want to stay up to date in all things agriculture, follow along with us by downloading our app, The Farm, and you can find that at thefarmwi.com or on your app store. Our podcast is also uploaded on Spotify and Apple Music. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Selling your cattle is easy with American Foods Group, a family-owned company bringing you the best prices and expertise right from the dairy, ranch, feed yard, or local market. Call today at 800-345-0293 or email info@americanfoodsgroup.com.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Another perspective on ways agriculture can help address climate change. Today on Farm to Fork.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
I knew a guy who was caught in a power takeoff on his dairy farm. By some miracle, he survived. Most farmers aren't as lucky. Keep those shields in place. Don't wear loose clothing around a power takeoff. And shut the tractor off before doing any work or adjustments to the PTO. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork, through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. U.S. Farmers and Ranchers in Action board member Tim Favory, who works for Nutrien, shares his five key takeaways from the recent UN conference on climate change.
One is related to the interconnectedness of climate issues and biodiversity and nature issues. If we're looking at these set of issues and the impacts that they might have on farms, that they should be looked at together instead of separately.
Next, says Favory, the system to incent farmers to change those practices needs to be solidified. Third, he says, ag-based interventions for climate need to be localized.
We all know that every farm is different, every field and every farm is different from a soil perspective, water, etc. And advocating for standards and programs to really be sensitive to the differences that are at play in agriculture, that one global standard might not have the same impact on one part of the United States as it would on another part.
Fourth, says Favre, food and agriculture needs to have a loud voice in the climate change discussion. And five, keep a close watch on how climate-focused litigation could impact agriculture. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as our friends Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio and Trigby Olson of the Lincoln Project return to the show after a vacation break. We'll catch up with them. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Earl Ingram.
The Republicans and Donald Trump want to impose tariffs. They say it's going to bring in $2.7 trillion.
That's what they say when they're trying to justify a tax reduction. Those broad tariffs are not good for the average American.
You know, Sandy, I'm not a guy that knows anything about calculus and any of those things, but I do know how to add and subtract. They're adding to the national debt.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.